Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Hour of Truth, all three of us.
I have
Philip Walthall on my right.
Good morning, everybody.
Brad Capshaw's in the middle.
Howdy, howdy.
And I'm Paul Muller. Welcome to another Hour of Truth. Okay, guys, take it.
Go ahead, Brad. What'd you get out of service this morning?
This morning was pretty good and pretty hopeful. This idea that's been pretty thoroughly pitched around in our services over the last month about salvation by faith through grace, and coupled with it's Christ's faith that we had clarified during the last ministers conference in October, has been like cool water and fresh air. Very, very encouraging. I needed it. Still need it.
Amen.
Where are you going?
Well, I was looking at Romans 6, I mean, because all those things are true. And it is. It's such a relief. I mean, because, you know, our own faith, I mean, that falters, that waves. I mean, just like we are.
And naturally trying to measure up is just killer.
And it's just like, you know, He is faithful. He abided faithful. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I mean, He abided faithful. The same with His faith. It doesn't waver either. And you see that His, you know, you see His Jesus' ministry here on earth, that it never swayed. He never swayed from what the Father told Him to say or speak. He always did that, which the Father told Him to do, and to speak what the Father told Him to speak.
And the result was always what the result was intended to be. And that promise is with us. Same spirit, same faith. We may not walk it out in perfection as He did. We stick with the truth, stick with the Word of God. It's going to do what it's supposed to do.
Amen. And I, you know, as we were kind of, we were going, I know, Paul, you hit some points on there and about Jesus' way. And we talked a little bit in Hour of Truth, quite a, frankly, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
About the Jesus's way, the line of authority, how that is all set up, and how we have opportunity through that all. And, you know, one of the things is, in the midst of that, we have all those things available. We were talking at the beginning of the show, you know, His faith, how it doesn't waver, and it's by His Spirit. You know, He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And He's given everything, every opportunity, made us free. He got us free from sin and death, gave us new life. We're not in bondage to that old man anymore. He's given us every opportunity. And I was hitting a little bit in Romans 6. And I was reading, quite frankly, a lot in Romans 6 this morning. And in that. And I kind of wanted to go a little bit further into
all
that.
Right.
Paul, do you have anything, sir?
No.
Well, I had one.
Not in a moment.
You're talking about, you know, fear, and I'm thinking like midweek, you know, get called to the lab, bad lab. This is my world for you. I guess it's, you know, a lot full and a 3-hour wait time, whatever it looks like.
Yeah.
But if you...
All kinds of problems happening at one time, like six of them at the same time. I need to be there for all of them at the same time. And
But, you know, even because what happens to me, I get a physical reaction where my gut's kind of going into a knot. And I say physical, I can feel when this happens. I know it's fear. I know it's not right. And God is so good that, to me, I'm learning to let that be like an alarm bell going off to say, hey, you know, you're getting off, because He said He would take care of me. Just like he said He would take care of us. And so even in the... in the act of screwing up, you know, and losing my faith in Him in a hard moment, if I let it be, if I just kind of get a little tuned into my own physical responses, it reminds me, and I start praying.
Amen. And, you know, really, what you're talking about, that is putting off that old man, and the sense, and the frustration, the anxieties, and I mean, that doesn't come from him.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't come from him. And it is in that time. I know that. I know that feeling, man. It seems like nothing's moving. Everything's kind of unloaded. I can't even get out on the floor to get these guys right going in the right direction. And all these things are just coming down, and it's like a compressing feeling. And everything. And what I really, in those times, one of the greatest blessings that's been was advice is to pray over the cabinets at the cabinet shop. Well, I quit building cabinets. I got to going to the to working out on the cars. So I pray over the cars and these things, and that keeps me in tune. Not only that, the anointing comes upon that car. Who knows? And I would ask you, I just say, Lord, I just bless and I anoint this vehicle in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the work that you have given me. I thank you for that work that you've given me. And it's in those times, that constant communication where I step back in the midst of these things. Lord, show me what you would have me do in the midst of this situation. This is way too big for me. But Lord, I know you are well able and you in me is well able. And I am going to choose. Lord, I'm going to choose to trust you in the midst of this thing. And it's amazing. Every time I go into those things, man, there's like a relief that comes. And it like starts to unfold. There might be things I need to go do. It's not that, man, I know the press is here and I need to put on. It's not like I sit back and wait for something to happen. Right. Don't hear me wrong.
Yeah,
like,
you in
there. Lord... You do it for me? No. That's not the case at all. It's I serve him in the midst of this situation. And when I go, he's not my servant. I am his.
Right. I was in 1 John this morning.
Right.
If I dive in.
Yeah.
I'm in 1 John 4 or 5, and it says, John wrote, if we're walking in his way or will, then we have the petitions we desire of him. And to petition the Lord to faithfully serve your employer and your customer, that has to be an upright. That's an upright prayer. And he meets you. And you know, you're saying, and I'm finding it too, there's an expectation. Like, Lord, I'm not getting it done. It needs to happen. And because you've seen it this month, last year for you, I have an expectation. Lord, I don't want to shut the warehouse down. I don't want to mess up Toyota or whoever. I need a break. And he shows up. And like running this electrical conduit, you know, we're turning Paul's front yard into a RV park, I guess you could say. And, you know, I know how work goes. I know how good it's supposed to be, and I know how things aren't supposed to work, and I only got one hand. And I just say, I got an angel on my shoulder. Just so often, I ran conduit overhead. This is the ultimate nightmare for me, is anything overhead. And I did it in a reasonably timely fashion. All that little stuff. The Lord wants that in. I've been asked to do it. Yes, sir. And then he's right there.
And the key about that, and kind of distracting off the call, the key about that is, what was that you were doing? Was you were serving the Lord. Kind of going back to what I was saying. You were serving. This is what the Lord, this is what you want done. Now, why do you know that? Why? Because it was...
Because I was asked to do it.
Absolutely. Amen. And you're in there to serve him. And to bring him glory and it be a blessing to what's at hand for the purpose of the big picture.
Yeah, it's not like in James where you're asking for something to for your own lust.
Right.
Although I guess not falling off a ladder and getting conduit in. I have an interest there. But yeah, it's a right thing to ask. And he just shows right up. And after a while...
So the question of whose interest is bigger, the Lord who wants you to finish the task you've been asked to do, or...
Speak in the mic, buddy.
Incompetence, ability to stand on the ladder and do it while you're... I mean, the winning out there is the Lord's wins out on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's interested in the little stuff.
And it's like saying this prayer. I mean, ask the prayers that you know he'll answer. Lord, strengthen me to do thy will, Lord.
That's right.
Okay. And see, that's the motivation key in that. I mean, even working, like you were saying, serve as unto the Lord. I want to serve as unto the Lord. I want to serve these customers as unto the Lord. I want it to be a blessing for them, and I want the Lord to get magnified in these things. Look, I'm about doing what? His business in this thing. Now, it could go completely different if all I'm about is, well, I want to look good.
Okay, and then there's grace, because in all honesty, Phil, I mean, there's everything about me is tainted and tinged. I know that's true, but there is grace. And there, and how did you bring it up this morning? Something about there's all manner of things that need to change, and the Lord shows us some, and we walk it out, and then He shows us the next thing. It would crush us if we knew.
Right.
But he's just that good.
That's grace. That's and long suffering.
That's where that scripture where sin abounded, grace abounded much more.
Yep.
Look, there's a certain, I mean, when you come to the Lord, I mean, you come to the Lord as a child. I mean, you got three steps and we're kind of going offhand. And I guess we already hit that point. I kind of wanted to go back a little bit. That we'll just go forward from here. But we're grace aboundeth more. Sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth more. And the reason is because when we come to the Lord, we are a child. We're a child of
anything.
God. I mean, when you first come around, man, you create messy diapers all the time. You're getting clean. When a child's a child, they create messy diapers. They count on you to feed them. They count
you don't get born into this world with full knowledge of everything it takes. The operating manual isn't all imprinted in your head. You have to learn it as time goes on.
Absolutely. And the same way in the kingdom of God. And then the same with your walk in the Lord. So what ends up happening in the midst of that is the Lord shows you things that needs to be changed.
A little at a time.
And you know really who's cleaning up the messes that you make are the ministers over you.
That's
why?
True.
Because they've been there before. Okay? And so they clean up the messes and they guide you along teaching. You're just like a child. You teach them, you guide along, and you get taught. And we get taught in the Word. We get taught in His way. We get taught step by step. So if He showed you everything that was wrong with you right off the rip, it'd be overbearing.
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
It'd be overbearing. But He shows you as a loving Father perfectly through every situation. Sometimes for me, it's through situation. Sometimes for me, it's just somebody telling me it. Sometimes for me, it's just the Lord showing that I could just see it for myself because of my reaction. 9 times out of 10, that's a lot of it. Through my reaction to the thing, and I can see in myself the error that which I am in. Okay. But anyways, he, like a perfect loving Father, He reveals these things to us. And it's not like His grace wasn't on you when you were that, because you had all this stuff and all this baggage and all this stuff wrong with you when you came in. No. Grace was all over you, man. That's what He died on the cross for, all those things. But He is about purging you of the unbelief and the issues at hand that keep you from knowing Him.
Amen.
Okay, so what happens is that purging comes along. You get heated up. There's impurities float to the top. You get, and then you turn away. You shed those things.
Heat up. I was thinking about Super Steve.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but at that time, I mean, Lord, let him continue. He couldn't have handled it, and it was when it was the perfect time. The Lord showed him.
Yeah, but it was like
how
a decade.
It
was a long time.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's many, but for that decade, you don't know what else. You don't know all the other things that was dealt with.
No, he said he was growing like a weed.
Yeah,
he was causing distress in people around him because they could see it, but he couldn't see it. But you know what? That's the grace of God. He didn't need to see it. When the day came and his spirit could bear it, the Lord says, you know what? There's something I've kind of been wanting to talk to you about. Let's fix this one too.
Amen. And that kind of goes to that the Philippians, Mark, where it talks about him that begun a good work in you.
Faith.
Hold on. Let's see here. What was that, Romans 6? And it looks like we're going to Philippians here just for a second. But go ahead. You about to say something?
No, he who hath begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. You said it. You
faith?
Look it up. And
it's probably misquoted a little bit.
Is it?
That's my shtick.
Okay, well, let's look. I'll look at it real quick.
Yeah, faith. Faithful to not only to perform it, but to continue to perform it. And that's bedrock, man. You can count
being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. That day of His coming.
Right.
And we've talked about the condition of where we're at now. It's not going to be any our condition of our heart where it's at now. It's not going to be any different when we're there. Yeah, we get a new body. The weights and chains come off. We don't have this old man nagging at us at every turn. But still, the condition of our heart.
Us.
Right. Is right there.
Scary.
It is very scary. It's very scary. But to allow that to happen, and see, what allows that to happen for that good work to, it's not like all of a sudden this good work is forced upon you. You have every opportunity
to turn
see
away.
It and turn from the garbage at hand. You know, kind of like, and that purification process that happens with us. And it's just really comes out of the point of shedding unbelief, I mean, in these things. Because if you believed them in all things, these issues would not arise.
Yeah.
I seen a question mark coming
on. No, you got the 1,000-yard stare. I was just saying, why do I handle a given situation as I do? And it may be because I don't think that he's got a handle on it. Or maybe I don't understand something. But probably because I just want to do what I want to do in the moment. But even that, I mean, if you... Because we stumble along, years go by, you know, if you're blessed with time, and you do learn.
Well, what comes up, kind of going back to what comes up with those situations that happen at work where that compressed feeling comes about and all those things, would we have those feelings and fears that came upon us if we were in absolute, solely...
Trusting
on the Word of God? And his ability.
No. But maybe, you know, the first 100 times it happens, I don't do it right. Yeah. But he's still there at 101, right? But then maybe at one time I do get it right.
Well, the point that I was bringing it to, however you get it right or you don't, is it stems from the unbelief.
Yeah.
And the purging out of that is, you know, it's kind of what
self-reliance instead of faith.
And having a confidence, what happens is our confidence grows in Him, not in ourselves. I mean, because let's face it, we have proven to ourselves time and time again, self-confidence within ourselves has led us nowhere. But destruction. Confidence in other things except in Him has led us nowhere. I mean, let's face it, it's just the case.
I was praying the other day over something simple. I don't even remember what it was. And I went, oh man, there's a presumption. I think it was probably a healthy presumption in this case for once. So I know the Lord's going to fix it. And then I went, man, I bring this little stuff up to Him all the time. Yeah, but He cares for me. I should be bringing this stuff up to Him. And then whatever minor thing it was just worked right out. Boom. And I went, wow, that's pretty.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good.
Bringing all those things to the Lord. Because what you want and seeking to do in every aspect of your life, you want to do that which the Lord would have you do and deal with each situation that the Lord would have you deal with.
Casting all your care
upon Him.
The little ones.
Yeah. And you're seeking to serve Him in everything. And you're at home. I mean, you're a minister of Jesus Christ. You're a servant 24/7. It doesn't say you're a servant of Jesus Christ
every
when you're
Sunday.
Clocked in at work.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you're a servant of Jesus Christ on Sunday when you punch in. No, it doesn't. It's you're His servant. You're sold to Him. So that which you lift up, you seek to do that which He would have you do through all these things. And the Lord in His goodness and in the midst of it shows those areas and kind of going back of that that work that is that begun in us, you know, He is able to perform, and that's how this gets done. Now, see, if, and that's where that part is, He is well able. He
and
is
willing.
Well able. In anybody's life, He's well able. But going back to that point, we still yet have free will. That doesn't mean we're going to submit unto God. That doesn't mean that work will be performed in us. Doesn't mean all those things in the sense that it's a definite, it's going to happen. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's a definite, that's going to happen. That's not the case.
No. Well, I was thinking of Peter. It says, unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be protected of divine nature. But that, for that to work, first you got to believe the promises, and that's the faith. That's the faith. Because He said that He would work it through us, or work it out in us, right? In Philippians, He said He would do it. But it doesn't feel like it a lot of times in the normal day-to-day. It's kind of painful sometimes.
Right. Well, see, that confidence in the Lord and the faith that He's put in you, and that confidence in the Lord starts to get strengthened, even regardless after a fall. Even after falling in unbelief. Even after... any of those things, because what is proven and shown to you time and time again is that he is faithful. Okay, and that right. and that confidence becomes, see, that's why Paul can say, I glory in tribulation. It's tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because he is yet well able. And the point, kind of going back to what I was saying in the midst of that, is because, and where it talks about in Romans 6, is even though yet you're set free, even though you're yet given all these things to go forward, an opportunity to go forward in him, where he talks about now that grace abounded, I'm going to go turn to it real quick. Even though you got all those opportunities before you, doesn't mean that that's what you're going to walk in, because you got that old man and you have that choice to still listen to that old man or to him. And essentially what the service we talked about this morning was about. Well, we wrapped up with anyways. And it's one of those things where, you know, I wanted to kind of go down into Romans here.
You know, one thing that came out, I believe it was when you were talking, is choice. And so there's a lot of free will in the world. But before you come to Christ, before his spirit indwells you, you may or may not really have a choice. You may understand what's right and wrong, but it's not within us to do the right thing. But after you come to Christ, now you can understand and follow.
But without the love of Christ, and it's done by his spirit, you can really do nothing good at all. Right? Because, I mean, if you go back to John 15, it says, without me you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So even though we, you know, feed the sick or help people out and all those things,
look pretty good,
doing out of pride, or you might be really wanting to help out the guy, but you're leading him around down the wrong path, because if you're not leading him to Jesus, what good is it going to do for you? Really,
right.
I mean, because so before you know him, you don't really do anybody any good. There might be things that the Lord can use that you might. That somebody has might done that was not a Christian to help you in some points in these kinds of things. But that's just the Lord's well able. But it doesn't mean if you ain't pointing somebody to Jesus Christ, what good is it? It ain't going to save them. They might become successful in the world. They might all these things. But if it ain't coming to Jesus Christ, what's the point? I mean, even, you know, without me, you can do nothing. And that's just the truth. So,
yeah,
really,
short.
Yeah, without the love of Christ, you don't even know how to love. With an agape
yeah,
level,
because
or
maybe
right
what
love.
You need to do to help somebody is nothing. That don't look right. What kind of love is that? You're going to help me by doing nothing?
But see, this is where the choice comes in, and I wanted to read in Romans 6:13. It says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." There's a choice. He's given you that new man. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his love. And he's freed you from that old man. But if you go and just go listen to that old man and do whatever that old you want to do and take orders from that old man, it's not going to profit you a lick to know any of this.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of where you go back and do, where you... are just walking in condemnation.
Well, my sheep
because,
hear my voice and follow.
Right. You walk in condemnation because you preferred your deeds over the light. And it's a personal choice. It's not
an easy thing to fall into, also.
It is. And that's a personal choice. He's come to set you free. But if you don't walk in that freedom, he can't make you walk in that freedom. It's just like he's given the church the power.
Yep.
It's yours to walk in, to have. It's given to you. But if you don't walk in that, that's not on him. He's just giving you every means. That's on you. And anybody can do it. See, it's a personal choice. And that's what's so beautiful about it. Because my 7-year-old daughter can choose.
Oh, yeah. And occasionally, if you watch them, you'll see them.
Yeah.
The little ones. See, chomping at the bit.
No. You may see me chomping, but what's getting chomped is my tongue, and I'm sitting here going, oh, ouch.
Yeah, the little ones asked some pretty good questions. JC was saying, well, does the Lord know everything? Or no, does the Lord know the future? I said, no, not necessarily. There's things that have to happen. He knows he's coming back, but there's a whole lot of free will. So, yeah, I mean, at some level, there's certain things he knows is going to happen, but no, overall, not. And that's that power of the church we're talking about. If we do the right thing, then you get one outcome, right? If you don't, well...
You believe him. You're going to walk in the power and the anointing of God. You submit unto him, you're going to walk in the power and the anointing of the Lord, and you're going to go forward in his kingdom. If you don't, you're not. And it's right there for you to have, man. I mean, we have every relief that we could have, I mean, in the midst of this, and we can do that. Not because anything within ourselves, because everything he's given us to do.
We were rolling out looking at Christmas lights last night down on Peniel, which is sort of on the outskirts of Walterboro, but went by a Baptist church down there by the DMV, and it said fundamental. Well, I know what that means for a Baptist. I thought, yeah, fundamental, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. In order for this to work, you have to be right on some very basic things, which is why you'll see kids who get the basics right. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you'll occasionally see kids walk in the power of God. And you'll see people that don't, you know, pretty average run-of-the-mill guys. And some very right stuff happens with them. You don't, if you understand Jesus as Lord, salvation by grace through faith, it just kind of doesn't take a whole lot for this thing to work. You know, it's if you understand a little bit and commit, it doesn't mean it doesn't get better or you can't be taught. Perhaps I digress, I don't know.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I you're talking about doing things right, it's not about us doing really anything but believing on him.
I mean, well, you
believe,
right.
And that's right. And
I don't have to go up in the soup kitchen. I mean, right. He told me to, fine.
Right.
Yeah.
In obedience unto him. I mean, it's right. Just like everything worked out for you putting that chapel up, but you are putting the lights on the chapel, running electricity on the chapel, because you were about his business, and you were about his business in the midst of that thing, and you were serving him. See, it's like he has that plan, and we can get on it. I mean, that plan doesn't
too.
Right, and that plan doesn't waver, doesn't change. I mean, it's one plan. And it's like that one way, and it's just us, just a matter of choosing to step on that plan. It really comes down to stepping into that plan.
And his plan for us is really Romans 12, 1 and 2. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice, and that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not conformed to this world. It's being transformed and conformed. What are we being transformed to?
To look like Jesus.
From what? From the scumbags that we are to being like Jesus and walking as he walked. So, you know, that's his plan for us, is to walk as he walked.
We are his body.
Yeah.
And that's where he's given his
body. In his place.
Yeah, absolutely. In his stead. And not that we are magnified at all.
No.
No, he's magnified.
Yeah.
He's glorified.
You may not get magnified. You could sure be blessed out of your socks in the midst of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, really. And that's something that... You know, talk about having crossed wires behind my eyes, man. All this stuff, like, if you follow these commandments and they're grievous to you, then you're a scumbag. Well, you know, a lot of things are pretty grievous to me that I ought to do.
Well, I look at this, the difference between the two, what is grievous and what isn't, and all these things. And what it really comes down to is, look, the old man, it's grievous. It's always going to be greatest to the old man. It's the flesh is always going to be the flesh. You're not going to change it. You're not going to put lipstick on the thing. No. It's not going to look any prettier. It's never going to be acceptable. It won't ever be.
Can't.
Okay, I mean, so that's just the old man.
There's evidence of whether or not you've chosen to listen to the old man or not.
And sometimes that thing's very loud. The new man finds that which the Lord would have you do a joyous thing.
But the testimony of the old man is always going to be the same. It's all grievous. It's
always. Sure. Always. And you just put that thing off, man. Well, and that's all that is.
But it looks so right and religious and everything. You know, you should be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. And then over the years, you try so hard to do and not do. And that's just another kind of bondage, man. Are you talking about bondage?
And what you're talking about is based on everything that what?
You can do. Or I could do, not throw the stone the other way.
I mean, I understand the point you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And that has never been the case. I mean, you look at David. We were reading about David the other day. Me and the girls would do Bible study. Reading about David, and it was funny because David was one that was out in the field. They didn't even bring David out from the field when Samuel came and looked at the sons. I mean, he's like, look at this guy, and the man's looking at the strapping big guys, and they didn't think, don't you have another son?
Isn't there some scrawny redheaded kid around here?
Yeah, somewhere? I mean, and then here comes David, and Lord said, that's the one, anoint him. Okay, and in the midst of showing the brothers, what the Lord told Samuel in the midst of that thing was, man looketh on the outside appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And what was it that David's that was so cool about David's heart is what? He believed God. Okay? He believed God to deliver that lion out of the sheep's mouth. He believed God to deliver him out of that bear.
Right.
And to deliver the sheep out of that bear's hands. He believed God when David and Goliath. See, he believed God. What makes us depart? An evil heart of unbelief. Okay, so and time and time again in scriptures, time and time again as the past goes on, you see that the fact was is that it was the Lord that did the thing. It was the Lord in his power and his might that killed the other nation. or killed the enemies there at hand. And it was the Lord that's the one that delivered David out of many circumstances, time and time again.
David believed God after he publicly committed adultery with Bathsheba. So this thing's known. I mean, to vanquish an army, this and that, but to be utterly cast down before the eyes of the whole nation and still be king. But he said, Psalm 51, something like, forgive me, and then I will teach transgressors in the way. I mean, he knew in the midst of it that he knew the faithfulness of God, and he knew that when and if the Lord decided to restore him, he was going to be King David. He was still going to be a man after God's own heart. To me, that would be a tough one.
Oh, absolutely.
Really tough.
Absolutely. I can actually remember an instance that's kind of at work where I was actually...
Wrong?
Wrong. What I did was wrong, and actually cast back down, and then to still step and stand and to go back in the midst of all these. I can actually...
You got a lot of eyeballs on you.
Yeah, many times over again that where I... Yep, and I had to get up yet and stand. And the only reason why I could stand was because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that David could stand and be king.
Yeah.
And that's where he says, where I'll teach transgressors that way. He's like, man, look, wash me. I mean, it's talking about wash me, cleanse me, man. And then, I mean, once I receive that goodness of you, Lord, and that washing, I will teach transgressors your ways, O Lord. And I'm paraphrasing all those things.
Not just to understand the judgment of God in the sense of bringing down a superior military force, but understand the heart of God.
The mercy of the Lord. Absolutely.
And we need that because everybody steps in it. You know, you're talking about going back to the First John about, your commandments aren't grievous. We get caught up. I've been so caught up in religious stuff and to understand the heart of God to think that like his ways really are better because they don't look better. You know, you look at all that stuff, and I spent some time in First John, and this whole thing is linked to love the Lord and love the brethren. It keeps coming up, love the brethren. But man, that ain't the easiest thing to do. And it's like, it's really across the grain. Especially living like physically close to a lot of people. And you come to understand that there is, for myself, like, yeah, they're actually no better than me. And I don't even really know how to express it, Phil. But I'm seeing this absolute link in the book of 1 John. Love God, that's obvious, but it only works through loving fellowship, loving the brethren. I may have just took you on a side road there, man.
That's fine.
Just been rattling around my head.
But that's where we're, you know, going back to the heart, departing from the evil heart of unbelief. Look, if David did not believe God, he wouldn't have not have stepped up and be king of Israel.
Right. And he wouldn't have been able to accept the forgiveness of God on that public scale and go back to being King David.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Lord covered you in all those things. And, you know, Paul, kind of going back to Romans 12:1, you know, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I look, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way that you get to that place is by making that choice of laying down your life. I mean, you lay it down. Look, it's not yours anymore. The Lord, you're His bondsman. You're talking about being a bond slave. If right. We're truly His bond slave, what He says goes, and it just doesn't matter. And He is a great master. The other masters say, I mean, that's really your two choices. There's no gray area. They want it. Satan wants to make it gray. He wants to make you think you have your own, but it's really him that does. And it's bondage.
Yeah, that verse, present your body as a living sacrifice. Well, you can have fun with that in a fundamentalist or a Pentecostal church. And that's that pull yourself up until you ain't got no bootstraps left to yank on thing. It does not work. It doesn't work. And the transformation is by the renewing of your mind, which is where you understand the Word of God, submit yourself to the Word of God. And He says, see, I think that's in 1 John. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you understand all things. As you need it, that Word will open up to you, and you are able. I am able. In the moment, in the stress, in the
heat. And it's through absolute humility and recognizing it's not that you can bring anything, but it's all because of His goodness, His faithfulness, and
right.
He's delivered.
Right.
Look, I mean, it's just like you go back and what do we preach? His Word. He confirms what? His Word.
Right.
And that's really what we're here for.
If you're standing in...
It's not my Word. My Word isn't going to help you any.
Right.
Didn't help me. It's His Word. And it's the same kind of humility that... You know, I do that which only the Father gave me to do, and I say only that which the Father gave me to say. It's because it's His Word. It's His truth. It's His will.
Absolutely. And so that transformation and all that good work He has begun, He's well able to finish, and all those things, you get that by through humility and submission.
And He's doing it like He's doing it, so He's to show us how to do it. Because otherwise, we'd be off doing our own thing, and
Yeah, when that thing's going on, I know, like, it's so misconstrued by definitely unbelievers, maybe believers too, but if you're standing talking to some grease-covered mechanic who thinks, for myself, like, I'm just like the stupidest thing that ever happened, and who hired you? It may not be stated, but it's pretty blatantly obvious. And they have no concept of the fact that they have a mercy and grace extended to them. You know, I'm sure the Lord looks at us that way, because we want to put all kinds of evil motives on Him and not even realizing He's having grace on us for always, you know.
Well, we don't even conceive the amount of grace that has been covering us. I mean, we don't even No, I mean, we go through realizations here and there. I'm like, oh my, I was like that, Lord, and yet you still were having mercy upon me. Man, I didn't realize, I mean, I knew I was a jerk, but Lord, I didn't know I was that much of a jerk. Oh my goodness. And see what gets magnified once again is his gospel. What else needs to be magnified? Nothing.
Right.
And if we take those moments when we get shown pretty clearly some of our shortfalls, it should make it easier when your brother or your sister, you know, really stumbles. Should. It's actually starting to.
But it's because you realize that you're no different. And even though, I mean, it's
could take a look at Psalm 51. I mean, we're talking a lot about David. I mean, hardly a few minutes. Just a thought. Just a thought.
But, I mean, you have love and compassion because you recognize the loving and compassion that's been extended unto you.
Well, and it's easier to walk in that right after you did something really stupid. Yeah. He can take advantage of even that if you let him.
It's, well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know. I will. And even dealing with people with whatever things they got, or, you know, I mean, at work I do a lot dealing with them of getting on point, getting on board, and I will bring them to account on certain things. And in the midst of bringing them an account on certain things, or even with you guys talking to you about certain things and something that, things that need to change, and you know, whatever the case may be, or that's issues or whatever, it is, I mean, really where it comes in, where I, because I can say these things and deal with these things, it used to be very, it can still be very hard, don't get me wrong, it used to be harder than it was. Because it was like, who am I to tell them anything? I am messed up.
But I get that.
Accepting that Jesus Christ is Lord and He died on the cross for all those things that I can have love. And it's not like I'm dealing with somebody on a thing, let's say at work or whatever issue they have, that I don't battle with, that I don't struggle with, that I don't have to put off. I mean, it's just not the case. I mean, same thing that the Lord might have me talk to you, Brad, about, and some of the issues that you might be struggling and I come talk to you. They've been in me, are in me, and the Lord is dealing with me at the same time He's dealing with you, even though He's using me to deal with you on it. Yeah. Or I've been through that and I understand it.
And you'll see that it's a, Davey always talks about, you're wearing the uniform. You're at work, in a position of authority, or at home, or in fellowship, wherever. You're still, I love what Paul said. I mean, at the same point in time, I am the chief of sinners. But then he talked about, due to all the revelations he'd had, the Lord had to give him a thorn in his flesh. Now, nevertheless, I am what I am. I mean, he had a crystal clear understanding of who Saul of Tarsus was. But he also knew he was now walking as Paul.
And we can go to that scripture, but taken back in the sense of it said, but maybe I haven't gone through this, whatever that person is, or whatever the case may be.
Christ has.
That's exactly it.
Right. And if you've got the Spirit of Christ, He is more than able to use you
to help that person. Yeah. It's just love, and you're willing. How do you do that? How are you going to be able to do that? Going to Romans 12, by humility and submission unto Him, be willing to be used by Him by any cause.
Right.
And going to what you said, you're talking about, it's actually in Corinthians. So I really like that scripture where Paul talks about where he glories in
infirmities.
It's, yeah, shortly after that. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because he says, my strength is what? Made perfect in weakness.
Yep.
So I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Yeah, so... What? Well, this is so backwards to everything in the whole world, you know? Beautiful.
And that infirmities, as Steve talked about, actually in that section is translated to weakness.
He had a weakness.
And going back, I mean, I actually want to turn to the scripture there, but it's an amazing thing, because who are you?
but nothing. And if we try to, and the only thing that, you know, we get down about or on the end of those things is that we are nothing. I mean, if we really don't take ourselves, take God seriously, not ourselves, because what's it to you if you're a blumbling idiot and you walk around, stumble around that everybody can see? That everybody can see that's the case.
I get a little close to home, but keep going.
I say you as in me, myself, as well.
I feel like that blumbling, a lot. Man.
A blumbling idiot, don't have a clue, but yet the grace of God is with you, and it's evident there with you, or the grace of God is being magnified, or the power of God is being magnified, even though you look like an absolute dingbat in the midst of the thing. Who cares? Because He gets the glory. And see, it shouldn't matter to us. I mean, if we're the living sacrifice, who cares, man? I mean, praise God. I mean, you take me, and I go work with any of these guys that, you know, in the ministry on these things. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, and I'm walking around like a blonde-headed
kid. The body knows
that. I mean, yeah, a blonde-headed kid not knowing anything, but yet it does not change the fact that the Lord is able to do mighty things at work. I've been complimented one of the best tire managers at work a couple times by a couple different managers there at Gerald's Tires and Brakes. And I'm a blumbling idiot. And the only reason, all I can do is say, well, praise the Lord. Because that's all
good
I can
response.
Do. Is praise the Lord. That's awesome to hear. Praise the Lord. Because that ain't me.
He must increase, I must decrease.
That ain't me.
Clearly,
I'm an idiot.
Clearly he's blinded you.
Right, and he's blinded me. And you know, I do say, well, thank you, but praise God.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God.
Glad to be the case, but that's His doing, not mine. And that's what needs to be magnified. And that just shows up that, you know what, anybody. We had a meeting not too long ago Saturday. I said,
yeah, anybody.
I was sitting there, and I was kind of witnessing to the guys there. I mean, guys, if you knew me, there's some newer guys, and we had a kind of an attaboy type meeting there at Gerald's. Guys, if you knew where I was, you would be astounded. I mean, Scott knew my past, and it's an astonishment of what the Lord is able to do in the midst of all these things. And look, if I'm able to partake of that, every single one of you can, because
I'm a screw special. Up. Ain't nothing special.
That's right. I'm nothing special. Why do you think David could be used so greatly to deliver the gospel after his fall?
Humility.
Well, it was humility. I mean, amen. But no, I mean, the fact that he was a screw-up.
He knew how it worked.
Absolutely. Well, the thing was, he understood the grace and mercy being extended to him. And that's where he could go and teach transgressors thy ways. It's a magnification of, well, man, David screwed up mightily, and the Lord still has grace on him. That means he can have grace on you, too. Praise God. That's a good thing, to have a king that fell flat on his face, but grabbed a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ and is able to run. I would want somebody that knows the gospel of Jesus Christ to be king over my nation any day than some of the guys they got running it now. I don't care how bad this screw up
Amen to that.
That's right.
I don't care how bad the screw up is, man. Awesome. Because that's something I can attain. The perfection that they're trying to hang on to, and the lies and the crap that they're trying to hang on to, I don't want no part of. And that's not something I could attain. I tell you that.
That's like the 4-minute mile. It couldn't be done. Paul, you might know the guy. Somebody broke the 4-minute mile, and once it was known it could be done, what was it, 50-something people in the same year did it. It can be done, and there is hope.
Absolutely, and not by that strength. I mean, that's the beautiful thing, because, gosh, it was based on our ability. We're done. And that's the beauty of it. That's just the, oh, man, that just is awesome. I mean, Pharisees. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Pharisees. I'm glad, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. I'm thinking to myself,
uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, because
we have a problem, Houston.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
No.
But it can exceed it if you believe on who had fulfilled that righteousness. And that righteousness, you believe it for your personal salvation. Okay, then it exceeds it.
And then what's impossible?
Because it's his, not mine. That's right. And that's awesome, man. That's an awesome thing. And that's that's given to us, man. That's a free one. Go ahead.
That is the good news. That's good news.
That is the good news.
Yeah, the apostles came back and went.
What?
I can't. What are you talking about? And Jesus said, well, it's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. So your faith goes from what you can do to what God can do. And then, that's so cool in ministers' conference. Well, my faith is deficient. I mean, look, everything about me is messed up. This is pretty known.
Yeah.
And it, man, what a weight. You mean, so he had the faith and he'll give me the faith and he took the burden and I don't have to carry it. And when I fall, I get grace. And he said he'd do it right to the end and he never changes. I'm in, man. I'm in.
Absolutely. You, and it just start, you be my God. I'm tired of it. You be my God. I'm here for you. Whatever it is. Because it just doesn't matter.
I had some parts get away from me at work that were substandard. And ended up, came out smelling like a rose. My boss came in the next day. He said, how did you do that? And I said, I'd rather have the grace of God on me than be the best FLM in the world. And he looked at me like a cow watching a train go by, man. He had no idea. But he knew he was in deep water, and then he wouldn't. So, I'll take it.
But the Lord gets magnified in so many ways.
Yeah, through our frailty.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of frailty to magnify him down here.
What did he say? Hasn't chose
the base things, the foolish things?
Yeah, I've chosen the base things of the world because they confound the wise.
2 Corinthians 10:12 was where you were going there. We got like 5 or 6 minutes.
Oh, you looked it up, buddy.
Yeah.
Is that where it says the strength, no, the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man? Is that?
It says a lot.
The foolishness of God is.
So it's a long chapter, and you know it's all very good. I'd have to start at the beginning of the chapter. I mean, it's good.
What that part I read? Where was that again? I apologize. Or that I said. Is that 1 Corinthians? Was it
second?
Second.
11.
12. It ends up with him saying, my grace is sufficient for me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's verse 9, but, you know, it comes out of verse 1.
What's verse 1?
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it's not lawful for a man to utter. Now,
that's an interesting statement.
Yeah. That's just incredible. Of such a one I will glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Another statement. An incredible statement. You can't just read past that one. That's just anathema to our nature, or who we are. Glorying in infirmities. Come on, man. That's just not who we are. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, that the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. sitting there thinking to myself, of all the things I could possibly be guilty of, being exalted above measure. In my devotion to the Lord, I could love, I love, that would be great, but that's just, you know, I know who I am. So that's just,
And you were talking about, kind of want to stop you in the midst of that, I be exalted above measure. I mean, you look and you read and all the things that he went through. He was shown by Jesus
that's,
Christ.
That's what happened just before chapter 12, where we started.
Right. But what happens is the thing that is against our nature to glory and infirmities, and we were talking about that. See, the thing that actually comes in, I mean, the love of Christ, and he uses ministers all the time for this, or shows us ourselves, is that which we're trying to hang on is, we're trying to hang on to being exalted. We're trying to hang on to not have weaknesses. We got this puffed up thing that we're trying to hang on to that is just for our damages.
Is our acknowledging of our weakness that connects us to the grace and the stuff that we need to be
absolutely
partakers of all that is in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And that pride won't let us do that.
Absolutely. There you go. That's the best way that was put, because, and that's it. That's exactly it. And that's okay. And what if that thing rolls out? That's the thing, where you don't take yourselves too seriously. That's why he glories in his firmity. It's an open book, man. I'm a screwed up son of a gun.
And firmity's okay. A testimony against the flesh. It's going
I'm a messed up son of a gun. But the Lord is good.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
All you need to know, brother. You know, you don't need to hide that. That's all right. You know, I'm this way, I'm that way. He's bigger than all that.
That's pretty good. The acknowledgement of our infirmity, weakness, sin connects us to the grace we need, and our own pride keeps us from doing it.
Because you don't want to be seen with that infirmity.
That's the battle. The battle is to overcome that pride.
Or you don't even want to admit that you have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you just... No, I don't have
to. And this is what he's doing here. He's admitting he's got the pride, and that buffet, that messenger from Satan to buffet him, is to keep that at bay so that he can partake of all that the Lord has to offer him.
Absolutely. He had a short leash.
Right.
He had a short leash.
So he sees that as grace and abundance of grace and mercy towards him.
Said, you got to believe my grace is sufficient for me. Comes back to... I covered you, buddy.
I covered. Don't worry about it.
I'm with you because I chose to be with you.
Right.
You know,
we got to get out of here. It is that time again. So, say goodbye, guys.
May the Lord bless. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
I hope y'all enjoyed this hour of truth, and we're out.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.